This morning I have another key for us to try in the door. Today, as we continue trying to unlock this door into a meaningful, purposeful life, we've tried a lot of things that have not worked. Activity, stuff, pleasure, wisdom, work, time, joy, prosperity, right living, knowledge, justice, politics, competition, religion, money, and abundance. And so much everything that the world has told us will give us meaning and purpose has not opened this door. Remains locked. Not that these things are bad in themselves, and we've learned that. Not that they're bad in themselves. But if we trust in them and look to that for purpose and meaning, we are going to be disappointed and left empty. And come to the same conclusion that Solomon did when we say it's all meaningless and life just seems to be empty. And we have discovered that, unfortunately, many in our world today are living here, aren't they? Many in our world today are pursuing and trying to find meaning and purpose to everything that we've looked at. And it's left people empty, looking for something to try to fill that void, looking for something to try to bring meaning and purpose that we cannot find there. So today we have another key to try. Butch, I'm going to have you read it for me. Age. The key of age. Age may work. After all, with age comes wisdom and experience, right? And the older we get, the more wise we become. Isn't that true? The older we get, the more experience we gather in life. And the longer we've lived, the more experience we gathered should help us to get purpose and meaning. So let's try the key of age into our door. Put in the key. Turn. Nope. Didn't work, Bob. Door didn't open this week, and you all kind of figured that, didn't you? Age did not work either. The key of age did not work because our culture today does not value age and look too highly on age, does it? Some cultures, especially in the Eastern cultures, they value age. And as people get older, they look to the elderly to give them wisdom and instruction and guidance. But our culture in America does not value age too much. When people get older, sometimes they're sent to a nursing home. Some people don't even stop by to care for them. Sometimes that's not a necessity, but sometimes people... Then look at all the money that people spend to try to make themselves look younger. We dye our hair, don't we? Because we want people to think we're younger than we are, so we dye our hair. People go and spend a lot of money on Botox injections or plastic surgery to try to stop the effects of aging to make us look younger. And we don't value age too well. It's the younger ones that are promoted. The older people, when we get older, we don't have anything to contribute anymore. Why is it that we try to avoid aging? What is it about getting older that scares us? Zoe? Decrease in mental facilities and death. Interesting. Yes, good answer. Getting older, we don't like it because it shows our mortality. It shows the fact that we're mortal and we're not going to live forever here. And as we get older and see the effects of aging in our life, it reminds us, time is limited. And so we try everything we can, especially those that don't have the assurance of life everlasting with Christ, do everything they can to stop the effects of it, thinking that everything will be fine. But we want to look at the Word of God this morning as we return back to Ecclesiastes, because Solomon addresses age. And age can be a blessing, even though it doesn't open the door. We can, through no matter what age we are, we can find purpose in our age and in our joy. We can find joy in our life, and we can enjoy it. So there's two principles that will enable us to enjoy life no matter what age we are or how old we are, whether young or older. Now, Solomon, as we're getting towards the end of this book, remember, was a sermon that he was addressing, teaching primarily to his son. And he wanted his son to avoid a lot of the mistakes that he had learned in his life. And now he's older, and he had learned a lot of lessons to pass on to his younger son. And so he's addressing his younger son particularly here, but it applies to all of us as we learn the lessons that Solomon had to display, that everything he's tried so far has left him without purpose. So let's look at the Word of God and discover two principles that we can enjoy in our life, because this picture here of this old house is a picture of our life. As the older we get, it becomes too, and we're going to see the effects of aging in our life as it deteriorates. But one thing we can discover is, first thing, is to thank God for each day of life we have. And God wants us to do that. He wants us to thank God for every day, because it truly is a gift. He says here in verse 7, light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. He's basically saying, life is sweet, guys, and it's a gift. Life is a gift, so enjoy it to the fullest. He said, it's pleasing to see the sun. He's talking about those days. Have you ever had a day where you get up in the morning and the birds seem to be singing sweeter and louder than any? The sun seems to be brighter than other days, and it's one of those days you get up and everything seems to be going so well. Like, this is one of the best days of my life. Ever a day like that? Some days we get up and things go the opposite. But he's saying life is sweet, and life is a gift. So every day that we have, we should be thankful for and live it to the fullest and enjoy it to the fullest from God, because it's a gift that he's given us. He's allowed us through his grace to enjoy another day. And we need to look at it that way. That every day, this day is a gift from him. Enjoy it. Use it for him. And be thankful. He says, the sun is sweet to see. And it's great to see the sun shine after we've had several days of rain. You know, and it rains and rains for several days, and then all of a sudden the sun comes out. Doesn't that just lift your spirit? Or in the wintertime, when the days get short and it gets dark early, and then spring comes and the days start to get longer and the sun starts shining, doesn't that lift your spirit up? And that's what he's saying. He said, life is like that. And he said, every day is to be like that. Live it to the fullest for God and be thankful that he's given you another day to be alive. That our life is in his hands, and be thankful for it. And enjoy it. Whatever it is you enjoy doing, he says, do it to the fullest and live it for me. And be thankful for each day, because life's a gift. But also be thankful for each day, because time is fleeting. And we need to remember that the time is fleeting, and so we need to make each day count. Notice what he says in verse 9. He says, be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in all the days of your youth. And as he's talking to his son, he said, enjoy each day you have, because remember that you're not always going to have this time. We're going to get older. And I don't know about you, but I've discovered something in my life. You may not have discovered this yet. But I discovered, it seems like as I get older, every year seems to go faster than the one before. Have you made that discovery yet? And it seems like as you're a kid, time goes forever. You're in school, and it seems like a school year drags on. And it's like, man, you can't wait to get out of school. Before long, we're married, and then we're looking back, and then the grandkids come along, the grandkids grow up, and we look at the end and we say, where did the years go? And time is fleeting, friends. And Solomon says, remember that make each day count. Because before we know it, those years pass. And they're like in a blink of an eye. You all can relate to that, can't you? And those of us that are older, how fast time seems to go. It's like we're on a treadmill and can't keep up. And we're far along, we're like in this picture. And we look back and we look at pictures of ourselves from 10, 15, 25 years ago and say, wow, where did the time go? So make every day count for the Lord. Use the time and the day he's given you. Enjoy to the fullest, but make it count for him. Enjoy that time with your family. Enjoy that time with what the gifts he's given you. Enjoy that time serving him. Enjoy that time with the things you love doing, but make it count for the kingdom. Make it count with your family. Make it count for those things that really matter, because so much of our time we waste, don't we? And make your time count for eternity, because we have a limited amount of it. The scripture says 70 years. But if God's gracious, he gives us more than that. But 70, 80, 90 years, and use those days for him and make them count for what's really important when we stand in eternity, because time is fleeting. Be thankful for every day, and be thankful for every day because he reminds us that judgment is coming, so we need to live each day for him. Look at verse 9 and 10 as he closes chapter 11. He says, follow the ways of your heart, and whatever your eyes see, live life to the fullest, enjoy each day. But remember, he says, know that in all these things, God is going to bring us to judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. So he said, enjoy each day, live it, make it count, but remember that someday we're going to have to stand before God and give an account of what we do. We're going to have to give an account for how we spend our days, for how we live them. We're going to have to give an account for if we waste them, when we're not good stewards of what he's given us. We're going to have to give an account if we squander opportunities. We're going to have to give an account for how we lived our life. And the judgment that we're going to face as believers is not a judgment of our sin. That's been dealt with on the cross. Jesus forgave us of our sin. We're not going to stand before him in condemnation of our sin. But we will be judged for our faithfulness and our service to him, and how we lived our life, and how we used the opportunities he's given us, and the time that he's given us every day. And so he says, banish anxiety and worry and all those things that are displeasing to the Lord. Put them out of our life, because knowing that we're going to have to stand before him, make each day count, live it for him, and be thankful for every day that comes our way. That's how we find meaning in age. Thank him for the days that he provides. Remember, time's fleeting, but life's a gift. But second principle that we discover from this scripture in chapter 12 is to honor God in every stage of life. Not only thank him for every day, but honor him in every stage of life that we're going through. Whether we're younger, if you're a young person here, Ashton, Lizzie, Katie, or whether we're older, to honor him in whatever stage of life we're in as we live for him every day. As we go into chapter 12, he says, begins by using that word remember. He says, remember your creator. And that word remember is a command that involves a heartfelt commitment to love, serve, and wholehearted, and to fear God. Remembering involves translating our faith into our action and in the way we live. Remembering involves trusting, obeying, and honoring. So when he says, remember your creator, he says, remember God and honor him and be committed to him and be faithful to him in whatever stage of life you're in. However old, however young or old you are, remember the Lord and honor him first before everything else. If you want your life to be blessed, If you want God to smile on you with favor, then we got to honor him before anything else, no matter what age of life we're in. Remembering our Creator, that he is the Lord. He is our Creator, and we are subject to him. At every stage of life. Why? Because Solomon uses three before statements. Look at verse 1. He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before. And then verse 2 begins with the word before. Then if you drop down to verse 16, he says, remember him again before. Three different stages of our life, meaning that we need to honor remembering God before something happens to us. He said, before these events occur, we need to remember and honor him, be wholly committed to him, obeying him, living for him, trusting him, loving him, and serving him. Why? Because we need to remember and honor God in every stage of life first, so that we don't make any youthful mistakes. He says, remember him in the days of your youth before, friends, the days of evil come. What does that mean? It means that when we fail to remember our Lord, and that our life is to be committed to him, we're to be living for him as Savior, we're to be obeying him and trusting him, and we fail to honor him first, then we are going to make foolish choices that the consequences are going to stick with us the rest of our life. Teenagers who think nothing will happen to me, and I can try drugs and nothing will happen to me, or one time, and they end up getting pregnant and having teenage pregnancy. And we make foolish choices because we don't remember and honor God when we're young. And we can make foolish choices, can't we? If we don't honor him. So he says, honor before the days of evil come, before we have to go through hardship and evil that we wish we wouldn't have experienced if we would have honored God first. If we would have kept our commitment to him when we were young, we wouldn't have had to go through that pain later. We would have been spared it. I thank God, and many of you had the same kind of upbringing. I thank God that I was raised in a home where my parents taught me to love and serve the Lord. At the age of 5, I accepted Christ as my Savior and followed him. Now, that didn't mean I always understood, but I sought to live as I was taught. And that spared me having to go through those days of evil. Many of you can identify with that, right? I mean, if you know Christ, he spares us from that days of evil. We don't have to experience. He said, so honor him now so we don't make youthful mistakes. So later on, we don't live with regret and say, why was I so foolish? Because I failed to honor God when I was younger, or even now. As adults, we can make foolish choices, can't we, when we're not honoring God? So in every stage of our life, honoring him first to keep us from those youthful mistakes before the day of evil comes. But he also says, honor him, remember the Creator, before, in verses 2 through 5. Before, and this is a long statement. In fact, as I was studying and preparing this sermon, I discovered that verse 2 through 5 is one complete run-on sentence. And if you read it completely, word for word, read it without taking any breath, it would leave you breathless. And that's the point of what Solomon's trying to say. Because these verses deal with the effects of aging. And he says, we need to honor God not only when we're young, but so we don't make mistakes that we wish we wouldn't have made and mess up our life later on and go through evil that we shouldn't have had to experience. But we also need to remember and honor him before the effects of aging happen, because aging takes a toll on us. Do I hear an amen from us getting older? Aging takes a toll. Look back in our life. Look where we are now compared to where we were 10 years ago. Do you have the same strength and vigor and stamina you had then? It takes a toll on us. And he said, before the effects of aging come, remember and honor God. And we need to honor God as we're going through the effects of aging, because we definitely need him. Remembering that he is our strength and he is our stability and he is faithful through all things. Because aging takes a toll. These verses, verses 2 through 5, describe the aging process. And Solomon describes the process of the coming of old age by using the picture of a decaying house. And the picture that he paints for us here in these verses is not too pretty. And it's been said, and I'm sure you can agree with me as you're getting older, that aging and growing old is not for sissies, because the effects that it has on our body and it has on us. And Solomon paints this picture for him, so remembering him in our life. He said, while we're going through these events, because he says the clouds, he talks about the clouds coming and those cloudy days. And he said, remember him before the days get too cloudy. And verse 2, in the cloudy days, talks about, is referring to when those times when our thinking begins to get cloudy. We call it senior moments. You know, those times when we can't quite remember like we used to. Maybe you haven't gotten to that point yet. But I have, and I remember how I could, especially in school when I was young, the professor or my teacher could give a whole lecture and I could go back and take the test and I could recall everything that was said and I could write it all down by memory. I could just hear it and remember it. Or someone told me something, I could remember it. Now, if I don't write it down, it's gone. You know, if someone can tell me something a couple minutes later, it's gone. Or Kim will tell me to do something and I forget. And she'll say, I told you. I said, I don't remember. Dick Keller calls it Halfheimer's, because it's not completely all. It's only half. But, you know, have you ever gotten there? Or you're going somewhere and you open your refrigerator and you can't remember. You're forgetting, putting something in or taking it out. You know, we have those times where our memory begins to get cloudy. But he says, honor God in those and before that happens. I remember when my dad was suffering the effects of Alzheimer's. And as he was getting more severe through the progression of that disease. And it got to the point that he no longer knew who we were. He no longer remembered me or Kim or anybody else in the family. But yet, they would put on hymns where he was at. And they put on hymns and they would have them playing. And he could remember every single word of those hymns. And he would sing them along. And prayer to the Lord. And even in the midst of his cloudiness of that, he could still remember the Lord. And he says, remember him as the effects of aging begin to take place in our life. Because he is faithful with us even in those days. Aren't you thankful? We go through those times of the approaching of age. We know that we're not gone through it by ourselves, that we have him there right by our side. So the cloudiness talks about the cloudiness of our mind, of our memory. That begins to fade. Then he talks about the keepers of the house. And he says, the keepers of the house tremble. The keepers of the house there is referring to those times of our, when we get older, when our hands begin to tremble and shake. And when we walk, we get kind of faltery. And as we get older, our hands get trembly and shaky. And it's reminding us of that. And the strong man stoop, he says about the strong man stooping in verse 3. That's referring to when we get older, when we sometimes slump over as we walk. Not only do we begin to be frail and shake, but we stoop over. And it's a picture here of how walking is becoming more difficult, how we're losing control even of the use of our body. But he says, remember him even in those times, because God is faithful with us. God's strength is sufficient even in those days, isn't it? Aren't you thankful that in those times he's there? We're not going through it alone. Then he says about verse 3, also remember when the grinders cease and because they are few. There he's describing the fact that as we get older, we lose our teeth. And they become fewer. And we have less teeth and it's hard to chew and it's hard to eat. Or we bite into a piece of steak and the teeth stay there. I had a friend who used to travel with, and well, when I used to travel with the Johnson sisters, he had a little song. Mech was an evangelist, and he had a little song he used to sing about getting older. And it went something like this. I'll try to sing it for you. I apologize, but it went something like this. My little girl, she was so sleepy, so she thought she'd go to bed. She put her hair upon the table and her wooden leg under the bed. She put her teeth upon the table and her glass eye on the chair. My little girl, I love to kiss you, but you're scattered everywhere. You know, the effects of aging affect all of us. And here he's talking about losing our teeth and not being able, it becomes more difficult to chew. Then he goes on describing, he said, the grinders are few. Then he says, looking through the window. Notice he says, those looking through the windows grow dim. There he's talking about as we get older, our vision begins to get affected. I discovered that whenever I turned 40. When I turned 40, they say life begins at 40. That's when it begins to go downhill, don't it? I turned 40, I had to get bifocals. And then, now as you all know, what I've been going through with my eyes, many of you too. As we get older, it's harder to see. And our vision gets dim and blurry, and we notice those changes taking place. But Solomon says, yeah, the effects of aging are going to come to us. But remember our Lord in the midst of that. Remember that he's faithful and his grace indeed is sufficient. And he will give us the strength we need. Even when our eyesight begins to fail us and we have to deal with that. My mother had to deal with macular degeneration. Some of you as well with eye problems. Then he says that the doors are shut. And he says also, he said the sound, verse 4, then the doors of the street are closed. Shut doors is reference to when we get older, we lose our hearing. And our hearing begins to fade. And we have to get hearing aids to help us to hear. And it doesn't just affect us, it affects our pets as well. Our dog Zoe has lost her hearing. And the dear thing, we have to yell at the top of our voice to try to get her to hear us anymore. So the effects of aging here is talking about loss of hearing can come into our life. And then he says that the sound of grinding fades because we don't hear it. And then verse 4, he said, men rise up at the sound of birds. That rising up at the sound of birds talks about the experience we have as we get older, that it gets harder to sleep at night. Getting a good night's sleep, how many times do we have to get up in the middle of the night anymore? You ever have that experience? I sure do. You just can't get a good night's sleep because you got to get up in the middle of the night because nature calls. And that's all the effects of getting older. And Solomon is describing it for us here in vivid detail of what happens. And then he said, getting up with the birds, meaning that we're up early, and then our songs grow faint, talks about how our voice quivers as we get older and weaker. And afraid, then he says, we're afraid of high places in verse 5, meaning that we're afraid as we get older and more frail that we're going to fall. And afraid that if we do fall, we're going to be able to get up, or will we be hurt? And we live with that fear. Then he says also about terrors on the road, talking about being afraid even when we get in the car as we get older. We don't like to drive at night because we're afraid, you know, we could get in an accident. And all the things that happen as we get older. And he says, also talking about the description, he says, verse 9, remember him when the almond tree blossoms. When the almond tree blossoms, he's talking about our hair that may have been one time been real nice and dark, but begins to get grayer. And, our hair, as we get older, it either turns gray or it turns loose, one or the other. But I remember when I first saw my first gray hair, I went ballistic, and I wanted to pull it out. And they say, don't pull one out, because if you do, you'll get four in its place. So I haven't dyed mine. This is my natural color. And I've just come to embrace it and say, this is my wisdom that I'm earning. But showing as we get older, and it shows in our age. But the Bible says gray hair is a sign of wisdom. And I thought I'm doing pretty good till Kim burst in my bubble last week. And we were at Knoebels Park, as you know, last Saturday, and we were on the ride. And I was riding the Twister with Janelle. And we were having a great time. I had my hands up. I was acting like a lot younger than I am. And had a good time on there. And I got off, and Kim said to me, I said, that was fun. We had a good time. Kim says, you could really see your gray hair blowing in the breeze. She said, the wind was blowing. She said, all you could see was your gray hair. I said, thanks a lot. So the effect of aging hits us all. And then he says here that the grasshoppers drags himself along. That's a reference to as we get older, and it gets harder to walk, and we just are just, older people, it's just sometimes struggling to walk. And the strength that it takes to go from one place to another. All those pictures telling us that aging does take its toll, and we all can relate to that, can't we, as we're getting older. But he says, remember your Creator even in those days. So we don't make the youthful mistakes, but also as aging approaches us, knowing that, yes, it's going to be more difficult, our strength is going to weaken, we're going to be more frail. But in the midst of that, we have a great God who's with us. And our God is going to give us the strength that we need, the ability to go through aging with grace, because we know that we have a great home awaiting us. Art Linkletter once said that it's better to be over the hill than it is to be under it. And, that's true. So enjoy each day, live it for the fullest, and whatever stage of life you find yourself in, honor God in it, and remember Him, and live it for Him. Before the days of evil come, before the effects of aging take its toll on our body, remember Him. But third statement we find in verse 6 is remember Him because or before the silver cord breaks. Because one day the silver cord will break. And that will call for all of us, and it will break in all of our lives. And he said, remember Him before that day comes, so that we're prepared for that day when the silver cord breaks. What does Solomon mean by that? Well, he says, when the silver cord was severed and the golden bowl was broken and the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel is broken at the well. All of these items are associated with a well that was used to draw water, which was very common in those days. And they understood the picture Solomon was trying to say. And people at that time, to get water, you had to go to the well. And the well was a source of life and considered the wellspring of life. And you had to go to the well and draw it so you had that life-giving water so that it could sustain your life. And Solomon is saying, someday that silver cord at the well is going to be broken and you're not going to be able to draw the water anymore. He said, the picture here, the problem with was that the silver cord, the bowl that pulls the water up and the wheel that drove the water and lifted it up to the top of the well was all lying in the bottom of the well because the well had deteriorated from age. And it was all laying in the bottom and you could no longer get the life-giving water anymore. And Solomon said, this is a picture of what happens to our life. That someday at the end, it's the picture of our coming death. And he said, the spirit will return to the ground. And the dust goes to the ground, and the spirit goes back to God who gave it. So he says, remember before the time of death approaches us. Remember our Creator. Don't wait until that time because we're not guaranteed when it will be. We don't know when it will be. to say, remember him now. Live our life for him now. Make the most of every day we have now before that time comes, because it'll be too late for us. We don't know when it will be, but he said someday, unless, praise God, and it would happen, and you would rejoice in that too, that he would come in our lifetime and take us to heaven without experiencing death. Wouldn't that be great? To be raptured into his presence without experiencing death. But if that does not occur, someday the silver cord will break in all of our lives. And he said, remember him before that happens, so that we're prepared when the life-drawing water is extinguished and we know that we'll be going into the presence of Jesus. So whatever stage of life we find ourselves in, honor him and thank him for every day. Live it to the fullest and honor him in whatever stage of life you go in. As we think of this picture describing our life and the effects of aging, and what Solomon was trying to teach us this morning about honoring God and remembering him in the midst of it, the cathedral used to sing a song, and now it's sung by the Gaither Vocal Band, called This Old House, that describes for us what Solomon was trying to say in these verses. And I just want to read these words to you, because it describes so beautifully what Solomon is telling us and why we need to live for him and honor him now. And it says, this old house once knew my children. This old house once knew my wife. This old house was home and shelter as we fought the storms of life. This old house once rang with laughter, and this old house heard many shouts. Now she trembles in the darkness when the lightning walks about. This old house is getting shaky, and this old house is getting old. This old house lets in the rain, and this old house lets in the cold. On my knees, I'm getting chilly, but I feel no fear or pain, because I see an angel peeking through a broken window pane. Now my old hound dog lies asleeping. He doesn't know I'm going to leave, else he'd wake up by the fireplace and he'd sit there and howl and grieve. But my hunting days are over. I ain't going to hunt the coon no more, because Gabriel Dunn brought in the chariot when the wind blew through the door. I ain't going to need this house no longer. I ain't going to need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to oil the hinges nor to mend the window pane. Ain't going to need this house no longer, because I'm getting ready to meet the saints. And that's what Solomon said here. Enjoy life. Live it for him. The effects of aging are going to take its place, but honor him in the midst of it. Remember him always. And live each day for him, and enjoy each day that he gives us, thanking him that our life is in his hands. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are indeed the ageless one, that you never change, that we can rely on you as the effects of aging come upon all of us. Help us to deal with that with grace. Lord, it is difficult, but you give us the strength when we feel our body failing us, our eyesight begins to grow dim, and the effects of aging come upon all of us. Lord, may we continue to remember you and your goodness, your faithfulness, that you've been there leading us every step of the way, and you will continue to, that you are faithful, that we can look back on our life just as Fanny Crosby said, that all the way my Savior leads me. And day by day, we are kept in your care. Remembering you, Lord, as well, when we're younger, and every day, so that we don't make youthful mistakes before the day of evil comes, so that we don't make a decision that is costly and has circumstances and that are going to affect us, and consequences are going to affect us the rest of our life. But Lord, did you spare us from those if we commit ourselves to you and walk with you through all our life and the days you give us. So Lord, help us to make this day and every day that you give us count for you, thanking you and enjoying life that you give us to the fullest, and in gratitude for you are God, until one day when the silver cord breaks and we are ushered into your presence because we've been saved by your grace through Jesus. So thank you for your faithfulness, and may we walk this day and the week ahead of us with you and rejoicing in your goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen.